How many would like to learn a little bit about the real estate market this morning? How many know the difference between a buyer's market and a seller's market? Okay? A few of you. A few of you know the difference. Those of you who have your house listed for sale right now, understand it is a what kind of market?
Buyer's
market. Now let me just teach you a little bit about what we do in real estate and about how to make sense out of this. And I'll just use the top of this. If you take a look at any particular market, and all of the active listings in that market represent, can you see that? 100%. Okay, let's say that. 100% active listings, houses or condos. Right here in the Port Ludlow Resort, there are 123 houses and condos listed just in the resort boundaries, okay? I know there are some here who have a house just beyond the resort boundaries, but just talking about the boundaries right now. 123 houses and condos. Now, if you want to look at a seller's market or a buyer's market, how is that defined? Well, the way that is defined is you take a look at what is under contract. Can you all see that? What does that say? STI. When a house goes under contract, you brought in a purchase and sale agreement, and undoubtedly you all use a wonderful realtor anyway. When you bring in a purchase and sale agreement, when that agreement has mutual agreement by both parties, you've wrestled the terms or sweetly ironed out the terms and all of the price and everything, that house then is under agreement. But there are usually contingencies. And so we put STI on it, subject to inspection. Now that, because everybody, when they buy a house nowadays, they'll do an inspection on a house. And how many know that no matter, even if it's a brand new house, usually inspectors pay for themselves by finding something? How many know that? Okay, that was supposed to be a little levity. Those of you who sold a house, I know why you didn't smile. Okay, they usually find something. Okay, but you take a look at what's STI or pending to see whether a market is right now actively a buyer's market, a seller's market, or a balanced market. Okay? You don't look at what's sold. When you're looking to price a property accurately, you look at what's sold in the last 6 months in addition to what's under contract right now, in addition to what's active. You put all that together. But I'm talking about determining a buyer's market or a seller's market. You don't look at what's sold because that's old news. That's about 90 days old or 45 to 90 days old. But you look at this. This is what's happening right now in the market. You take that figure of 100%, if you will, of what's actively listed. If 60% and above are under contract, that's a seller's market. Seller walks up to me and says, I have a 500 square foot home, a sliver of Waterview. I want to sell it for $800,000. I look at you and say, good luck. No, I look at you and I say, okay, you're in a seller's market if this is true. You might get close, but you're crazy. You won't get that price, but you're going to get a price that's realistic that you want to set, 60% and above. If it is 40% and below, it's a buyer's market. Now, what does that mean? That simply means you can't necessarily set your price that you want to way up here, the price that everybody was taking a year and a half ago, right? Y'all with me? Y'all tracking with me? You can't necessarily set your price up here. You got to be a little more realistic if you're in a buyer's market. And that means, up here, it means fewer houses are listed and you got a big buyer pool. If you're in a buyer's market, more houses are listed, fewer buyers are available. They got their choice. They don't have to pay your price. That's why you'll find things happening in markets that are buyer's market, like seller concessions, seller carried contracts, or maybe seller pays buyers partial closing costs, or whatever. Okay? Now, how many would like to know how this translates right now in Port Ludlow? Port Ludlow, historically, by the time you come across the Hood Canal Bridge, Port Ludlow has never been a seller's market. You go to Bremerton, you go to Bainbridge Island, you go to Seattle, you go to several places in Seattle, you hear still bidding wars. How many sellers like the sound of a bidding war in their area? That means I'm going to get 3-4 contracts in at the same time. I get to choose. Woo! Hot market. Okay? But Port Ludlow's never been that. But Port Ludlow is a very solid, we're just talking the resort here, just information. Port Ludlow's always been a very solid sale because people desire to come to the standard of living or the lifestyle, the club, they want to listen to the Beach Club Boys in song. Dan Withers and me. No. Royal and Elaine. Oh, yeah, or Rockabilly Elaine. That was good. I like that. Okay, so happy birthday, Elaine. Anyway, so what happens is it's never been. Historically, Port Ludlow is a 14 or 18 to 22 share market. Here's how you get your share. Right now, there are 123 active listings in Port Ludlow, condos and resorts. You find out how many are STI and pending, and you do your division, and you find a share. 40% or less, buyer's market. Historically, 18 to 22 share in Port Ludlow, which typically makes it a buyer's market. You know, glassy eyes here. It makes it a buyer's market. Right now, as of this morning, as we sit here, there are 7 properties in Port Ludlow's resort, STI, none are pending, which makes it about a 5% share. Isn't that interesting? Nobody found that? I find that very interesting. Of course, I find that very interesting. Now, if you're waterfront or you have great water views, you'll find that you can sustain your prices a little bit better, but it's a slow market, folks. I've never seen a market like this in Port Ludlow. That's why they call me a broker owner. Okay. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. All right. So, but that's how the market goes. Now, how many are aware of what the 30-year interest rate is right now in the market? 6.6 to 6.75 on Friday. What were you going to suggest?
6-0.
Yep, 6-0. Now we all say, oh man, a year ago it was 5.75. It was 5.5. That's terrible. How many remember what was happening in the 1980s? 18, 19, 20, 21. That's why they developed the ARMs. If you're familiar with mortgage instruments, they developed ARMs and adjusted rate mortgages. And so we think that anything under 8% is our birthright in America. But listen, it's still a good rate. I'm not saying all this to sell you. I'm just bringing information. You know, but all of this, including a slow market, affects our restaurants in our area. Do you realize if you just take a phone book and take a look at eating establishments and drinking establishments, do you know right here in our end of the peninsula there's at least 80 different establishments? But with this happening and the market being slow, there's not enough, not as much discretionary income for people to go out and spend unless you go to church and go out to dinner afterwards. But now how about that price of gas? What did you pay for gas the other day? Talk about discretionary income and where it goes. How much did you pay for gas the other day? $2.88. Oh, Miracle Man. Woo!
Costco.
Okay, all right. Who else? I paid $3.07 a gallon yesterday over here. It's $2.97. So it's coming down a little bit. But I remember being a kid in college and my brother saying to me, Kevin, this summer, gasoline's going up to 50 cents a gallon. I went, no way. No, they wouldn't do that to us. But they did. You know, by the way, price of gas, I'm going to fill up here in a couple of weeks. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to a couple of weddings. There's a wedding for their grandchild over in Pullman. And then the week following, I'm going to be in Spokane. My niece is getting married. In fact, the first Sunday that I'll be gone, Pastor Dave Koblenz, their oldest son-in-law or youngest son-in-law, will be here to preach, and he'll help you guys lead worship, and you'll all have fun because he plays great guitar. He'll be fun. He might even be here next week. So Dave Koblenz. And then the following week, Pastor Carl and Pastor Sherry, Pastor Carl will lead worship. Okay, all right. my brother in Spokane, my niece is getting married, and she's getting married at one of these really fancy wineries. You know how they're doing nowadays? By the way, do you understand that wine is one of the biggest cash crops in Washington State right now? Nancy just got back from Prosser, and Prosser used to be this little dusty eastern Washington town, and the houses have been leveled and brand new high-end homes going up, and the wheat is becoming wine grape country. Isn't that interesting? I think that's very interesting. And as a matter of fact, weddings. You know how much weddings are costing right now? Have you priced a wedding lately? Honey, when we get married, you know how much it's going to cost? I'm just kidding. She's looking upset at me now. I was just teasing you. It's my girlfriend. Do you know that the average cost of an American wedding right now in America is $28,000? $28,000. How many are glad your kids are already married? Yes, $28,000, $1,500 on a dress, and nearly $2,000 alone spent on flowers, and I'm going to be driving to a wedding. All right, stock market. How many priced the stock market last Friday? You know about the stock market? You know, how many remember before it was like it was 8,000, you know, or remember less than 2,000, and 10,000 was an impossibility. It'll never reach 11,000, 12,000. You got to have holes in your head. And what's it at now? 13,611.68 on Friday. Do you know Friday alone went up 45 points in the stock market? The NASDAQ, 2,666, up nearly 10 points. Can you believe what's happening in our economy? And how many like the gas prices? How many like the stock market? How many like weddings? How many have given up on me, have no idea where I'm heading this morning? What in heaven's name is Pastor Kevin talking about? How many of you understand that there's not one item of what I just talked about that in and of itself is sinful? Was any of the conversation I just had sinful? Absolutely not. I did my best. I had to fight to stay away from sin territory. But I'm making a very purposeful point this morning, and I want you to go to some scripture with me. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Actually, I was having a lot of fun with you. And it was all factual data. See, you learned something, didn't you?
Deb, are you planning on getting married?
Is that an offer, Bill? Oh, that's a different kind of church. I'm going to Luke chapter 21, Luke 21, and we want to go to verses 34 through 36. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. Church, there was absolutely nothing sinful about the discussion and the topics that we just held. Nothing sinful. It was just full. Just like life. It was just full. And life rambles along. How many of you understand any one of those topics that I just talked about can be literally life-consuming? People spend all their time on any one of those topics, much less skim along all of them. Let's make sense of the ramblings this morning. Does Jesus have anything to say about all of this? And I'm not going to turn any of those topics into sinful topics. They're not. But let's see how it affects us. Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. I'm reading from the New King James Bible. If you need a Bible this morning, there are some in the back of the room. But take heed to yourselves. Say that phrase with me. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, it says in the New King James. How many like the next one? Drunkenness. Oh, okay, there was a time maybe you liked that one. And read out loud with me the third phrase, please. Cares of this life. Now, will you please notice whether it says anxiety or whatever it says in there, will you please notice that that is on a par with the other two topics? Carousing. Well, I'm no wild partier. You should have seen today. I was. This teal jacket's just a holdover. Drunkenness. Why, you should have seen the day. Thank God I got saved. No, you shouldn't have seen the day. But on a par with those things, and you clearly know that those are wrong. But on a par, it says, and cares of this life. Beware, lest that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And read verse 36, the first part with me. Watch, therefore, and pray always. Say, Merimna. One more time. Merimna. Biotikos. Biotikos. Merimna. Biotikos. You have just been a Greek scholar, and that is in the Greek the phrase, cares of this life. Let me tell you what that means. Literally, if you're taking notes, it means distraction relating to the present existence. Cares of this life. Merimna biotikos. Distraction relating to the present existence. Luke chapter 17, if you'll turn there, please. Luke 17. Verses 26 through 30. Luke 17, 26 through 30. Look at this. We have been in God's prophetic purposes as a theme. This is point six or part six of God's prophetic purposes. And here's where we get our phrase that is the title, in the days of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. Look at verse 27. Is this horrible, wicked, rotten sin? They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, flood came and destroyed them all. Verse 28. Likewise, it was also in the days of Lot. Look at these terrible, sinful things. Now, we know they did a bunch of other things, but look at what's identified. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Does that look wicked and terrible to you? They rode motorcycles. Okay. Dune buggies out in the sand, okay? But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so, it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. None of these things in and of itself is sinful. But these things, folks, can capture your heart. They can capture your attention. They can capture your entire affection. Who and what do you love this morning? The test of your soul. What's your first love? Who is your first love? The test of your soul. If you are owned by what distracts you, then you won't be prepared when Jesus does whatever Jesus is doing. And if you are in the distracted group, doesn't mean you don't do any of these things, but do you keep your first love first? If you don't, that's the group whose lamps run dry of oil. They weren't prepared. They were simply living their lives. Their hearts were full and dull, hardened to God. How many understand, if you take a look at that scripture and remember your history, they didn't have time to listen to God and to God's preacher. They didn't all gather around Noah and say, hey, what are you doing outside of the first initial curiosity? We don't see them lining up, getting saved every day. We don't see multitudes coming into the ark. Their lives were full. They were eating, drinking, buying, selling. They were marrying and giving in marriage. No big deal. Nothing sinful. They were just distracted so far away from God, their hearts got cold. They weren't prepared. Consequently, because their hearts were far from God, they didn't believe Noah. the preacher of righteousness. They didn't believe Lot. You remember Lot. I think the scripture is hard-pressed when it says righteous Lot. But nevertheless, they didn't believe him. And he hardly believed the angels. They didn't. Even as Pastor Sherry opened this morning talking about Rodney Howard Brown quieting down before the Lord, they didn't quiet themselves to listen to God. So what's our answer? What is our answer this morning? Keep first things first. Turn to each other. Say, keep first things first. Keep Jesus first. Say that to each other. Keep Jesus first. What I want to urge us all to do, keep Jesus first and literally jump into the river of God. How many want to be in the river of God, church? I want the river of God to flow in me. I want to be involved in the Spirit of God. I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit nearly 40 years ago, and I'm not interested in walking away from Him now. We've come too far to turn back now. Look at each other and say, we've come too far to turn back now. Lord, let your river flow. I want to be in the river of God. Let your river flow in me. Let your river flow to me. Let your river flow through me. Let your river flow through Port Ludlow and Port Hadlock and the Olympic Peninsula, Port Townsend. Let the river flow over the United States of America. Oh God, let the river of the Spirit of God flow. We stay close to Jesus. We keep Him as our first love. We've talked about keeping Jesus and receiving His mark, the mark of God. How do we avoid the mark of the beast? We've talked about the mark of the beast, the stamping and the imprinting on your soul that will lead to someone's deciding to take on the mark of the beast. What's the best way to ensure you don't do that? To fall in love with Jesus because He first loved you. I want to know, do you really love Jesus this morning? Do you love Him? Do you know that He loves you? Turn to each other again. Look at each other and say, Jesus loves you more than you know. He loves you. He wants you. He wants you to respond to His love. He wants you to be marked with the mark of God. Let's look at what things will look like when Jesus wraps up the ages. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. What's the antidote to being caught up in the cares of this life? What's the antidote to being so full and dull that we are distracted away and our lamps go out of oil? Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. What will it look like? And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Which tree were Adam and Eve to eat of? They were able to eat of. The tree of life. Which tree were they to avoid in the Garden of Eden? How many understand getting life in Jesus is more important than getting a head full of knowledge but not experiencing Him? How many understand it's important to understand? But you need to experience what you understand. You know, the old phrase, the old adage, too much knowledge, you blow up. Too much knowledge, you blow up. Too much experience, you blow up. Too much knowledge, you dry up. There it is. Too much knowledge, you dry up. Too much experience, you blow up. So you get experience with your knowledge and knowledge with the experience and you grow up. Took me a while to say it. Just keep praying for Pastor Kevin this morning. All right. On either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve Him. Read verse 4 out loud with me, if you would, please. They shall see His face. His what?
Face.
They shall see His what?
Face.
That means they're not distracted away looking to the right or to the left. That doesn't mean it's sinful to be involved in things of life. We have to be. But your focus, your gaze, your heart perspective, who's it fixed on? They're focusing on Jesus. They shall see His face. Now look. And His name shall be on their foreheads. I'm not going to worry about the mark of the beast. What I'm going to worry about is focusing on Jesus, keeping Him as my first love, and making sure I've got His mark on my heart and on my mind. Say amen, church. Look at each other. Say it southern. Get the mark of God. Verse 5. There shall be no more night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Fantastic book called Satan Who that Pastor Carl wrote about Adam losing the glory, and then God's purpose is filling His people to overflowing with the countenance and the glory of God. How many know when you see somebody who loves Jesus? What's their countenance doing? It's radiant. It's alive. Amen. Do you love Jesus?
Yeah, I love Jesus. Come to my church. We'll make you happy.
Loving relationship with Jesus. Being His own. Loving Him first, foremost. Jumping in and dwelling in the river of God. The river of His Spirit. The Bible says it's not to my ankles, it's not to the knees, but it's waters to swim in. The river of God flowing from His presence, bringing life wherever it flows. Ezekiel 47 verse 9. Ezekiel 47 verse 9. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, look at this, wherever the rivers go, will live. The river of God is flowing into and through you. Wherever you go, you touch and bring life, and things live. There'll be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed. Everything will live wherever the river goes. How many thank God Jesus got you on the line, nice looking fish you? Jesus reeled you in, little fishy. I didn't say something fishy. Jesus reeled you in. Thank God. Because the river of life came to your life. We're not going to quench and deny His Spirit. We're not going to turn back from following God. I loved it as Pastor Sherry opened. Respond to the promptings. Respond to the leadings, to the obedience of Jesus. These waters bring life wherever they go. It's not that we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We're heavenly minded and heart focused on Jesus, so we do a whale of a lot of good on this earth. Amen. Because people need Jesus. What's last day revival going to look like? Life and vibrancy. The Holy Spirit alive and well. People coming to Him, being saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues and miracles and healings. Apostolic anointing and life. All alive and well today in the body of Christ. How many can say amen?
Amen.
God, change us. God, move on us. How many want God to blow past your little box that you've got Him in? Do something more, Lord. Do more than what I expect. When you go to church this morning, do you expect Jesus to move on you? Do you expect Him to move on your neighbor? Do you expect the Spirit of God to move and change your life forever?
Yes, amen.
I want to leave here today, Lord, being more like You and giving You away the river of God. Rodney Howard Brown was leading a meeting and he had someone come up and read a letter that was describing the keynote message that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention ministered to all the thousands who had come in attendance. And here's what the letter said. We have dried up. Our churches are barren. We need a Holy Ghost move in the church today.
Amen.
The Southern Baptist said that. Church, if you don't know what that means,
get it.
Woo! We're talking Jesus is coming back soon here. People, we love them. Okay, I'm not being critical, but don't normally advance or believe that the Spirit of God is actively alive and expressed through His gifts today. Dispensationalists who believe that it all passed away with the apostles. How many understand your Bible doesn't say that? Your Bible says God is alive and well, the Spirit is alive and well, and the river of God, wherever it flows, everything will live.
Yes, amen.
Those who are dead need to just be touched by the river of God. Those of people you're concerned about who are dead to the things of God, who are dead to the things of the Spirit, they need the Spirit of God and you spilling all over them in love. People need to know what the love of Jesus is all about, what it's really like to walk with God. Who is this God? Isn't He some faraway, austere God who doesn't care? Absolutely not. He's alive and well, and He loves you and wants to be involved in you and with you. 7707. 40 days of prayer and fasting culminating in the call. 100,000 people in the heat remarrying Jesus and dedicating America one more time to a marriage relationship with Jesus. Folks, I believe and I am convinced God heard prayers and God continues to hear your prayers. God is alive and well. Let Him out of the box. Amen?
Yes.
Get in the river of God. Let's make some tangible preparation. I want to urge you. We are a wonderful fellowshipping church, and that's of God. We love to fellowship. But I want to encourage us, 10 minutes before the service starts, let's stop the talking and start the praying. Let's gather together in this room and pray that God will move on you and pray that God will move on your neighbor and that the Holy Spirit will move in this service, the people who get saved, healed, delivered, filled with His life. Let's pray and prepare ourselves for God to do something more. I've been in places where they do an hour or 45 minutes of pre-service prayer. I tell you what, church, I'm just asking for 10 minutes of focused prayer. If we'll focus our prayers on God, let's believe God to answer those prayers and do something supernaturally. Let's believe if God moves on you during a service, instead of just closing and going bye-bye, come on up front to the altar area afterwards. Let God move on you. Let the Spirit of God be free to touch you and bring healing and bring life. Let's pray for one another. Let's give God and the river of God opportunity to flow. Say amen, church. If we want God to move, we've got to get in the river. Expect God to speak to you during the service. Revival calls for our response to Him. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, revival calls for you to come. Give your life to a loving Jesus who loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Get in the river of God. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is alive and well. Ask God to baptize you in the Spirit. Come for prayer. Let God move on you. People get baptized in the Spirit every day. The gift of speaking in tongues is manifest. Prayer is manifest. Prophecy is manifest. Healing is manifest. God is alive and well. Somebody say amen. God is alive. His church needs to be alive. Get in the river of God. People getting saved, baptized. People taking, building your faith, making commitment to Grace Christian Center as their home church. What does that mean? We've got things to do and places to go and preparation to do. And the Spirit of God, the river of God, is wanting to move through a people who prepared their hearts, prepared their spirits, and said, "Yes, Lord, I'm available, I'm a candidate." Doesn't matter if you're gray-haired. I got some. Doesn't matter if you're retired. In the Spirit, you're not going to be fully retired till you get there. God's still alive and well. Is He good? Do you have to do all those things? No. Is He available? Yes. Consider the meanings in this section of Revelation. Number one, the pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Church, that's talking about being pure, about being holy. How many know God's working on cleaning us all up? He is. God's interested in us being clean before Him, in us being pure. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And this verse says that we shall see Him face to face. The Greek word katharos means clean and pure. Clear as crystal. The Greek word is lampros. Literally means radiant, magnificent, sumptuous, bright and clear. The river of God has nothing murky in it, nothing hidden, nothing duplicitous, nothing unclean. The river of God flows in you and cleanses you and makes us clean and makes us like Jesus. That squeaky feeling of being clean. Love it. Lamps full of oil where you're clean. Pure river, the water of life, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What does that mean? It means people who have yielded to His authority, to His rulership, and to His reign in their life. Surrender to Jesus. How many understand there are a lot of people gifted in these days? A lot of people gifted. You can have prophecies, have prophecy, will travel. Got to be careful. You understand? Tell me. Every eye up here. Answer a simple question for me. It's not a riddle. This is not riddle me this. Answer me this. A living tree, is it a planted tree or a flying tree? I'm sorry, talk loud to me. I'm a loud preacher. I can only hear you when you're loud. Oh, say it one more time. I'm telling you, you got to watch out for flying trees. A lot of people gifted. Have gift, will travel. The Bible says, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You got to find out where God wants you to be and get yourself planted. You need to allow fruit to come from your life. You need to allow other people to test that fruit, see that fruit, and other people to look on with loving hands of leadership and say, good fruit, tastes good, looks good on you. You're identified. I'm planted in the garden of God. Say amen or oh no. It's true. It's true. Some people want to fly around all day, every time. Different church here, different church there. I'm not saying you can never attend another church, but principle, understanding the will of God, is get yourself planted in a local church where you're identified and people know you and you've got pastoral help and covering in your life and biblical help and the Bible says get planted and let fruit come forth. The planted trees bear the fruit. Jesus says, I will build my church. And His church says, build me in, Lord. Build me in. Can you say that? Build me in, Lord. Is the church perfect? Nope. Some people say, I don't really go to church. I've been hurt. Have you been hurt? Sure. Yeah. How many in this church have never been hurt by anybody? Let's see the show of hands. Okay. Do you know how you get on from that? You love Jesus. Let Him heal you and minister to you. You forgive other people and you forgive them and you do your best to then get a grip and go on. You can't do anything about the past. Let the past be the past. God is more interested in your future than in your past. He will heal you for the past. He hurts where you hurt, but God is more interested in your future. And you've got a future and a destiny and a purpose in God. Say amen.
Amen.
The throne of God and of the Lamb. If it's genuine in your life, others are close enough who know you, who can testify. It's the authentic, real stamp of God on your life. Jesus is the head of the church. The Lamb of God takes away our sins. People have identified themselves and surrendered to Him. The river. Why is this important? The river of God flows from that throne. The tree of life. In the midst of the garden was the tree of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? Genuine Christians who would rather drink of His life and flow in His Spirit than just have knowledge of God. Revival is better felt than telt. You gotta telt it and then you gotta felt it. Tree of life. Where you really know Him. You really see Him. A living relationship where Jesus talks to you. You talk to Him. From there, the river flows. The tree of life. 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. You know what that means? It means God's interested in a bunch of fruity Christians. Look at each other and say, you look fruity. The real deal. The real deal. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 months a year. A fruit for every month. An ever fruit-bearing tree of life. How many understand we don't take time off from growing in Jesus? When I gave my life to Him, I didn't say, summers are mine. Okay? Now, just get a handle on it. I'll be yours September till June. Latter part of June, July, August, mine. You understand that, right? Otherwise, Jesus looks at me and says, yoo-hoo. 2x4 comes out. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, now I get it. Surrender. I'm yours. And I don't take time off from fruit bearing. Tomorrow, if it's not easy, I'm still called to be a Christian. My Monday walk is every bit as important as my Sunday walk. There's not a split life. There's not, I'm my church Kev, and I'm my Monday Kev. 24/7, 365, He loves me, and I get to love Him back. And I gave Him my life. You too, right? You too. 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Matthew 7, verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Listen, I want to say a couple of things very carefully, and I want you to listen carefully to me about it and understand it with the right heart. I want you to listen to what the Bible says. Talking about being planted in the house of the Lord, one of the reasons for being committed to your local church and being rightly related to your church leadership and pastoral covering, Hebrews 13, verse 17. Turn to it in your own Bible, if you would, please. Hebrews 13, verse 17, and then I'm also going to put it up here. I'm going to read it out of a couple of different translations. Lest you think I'm just blowing smoke. Let's see what the Scripture says. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, verse 17. New King James. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls and those who must give account. Let them do so with joy, not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Now you look at that and you go, no, wait a minute. That's been abused so often. That is just nothing but an abuse scripture. I'm sorry. Jesus didn't tear that one out of the book, though. Some people have had problems. But that's not a reason to not walk with God. Amen? Some planes wreck. How many still fly? How many like it less than ever? Look at this out of the Message Bible. Listen to this. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Isn't that interesting? It's quiet in here. I'm not here to lord anything over anybody. In fact, I have no authority as a pastor in anyone's life that doesn't yield that authority. But I have a calling in God before Jesus, as I know my other pastoral associates do. And it's called being your pastors here at Grace Christian Center. We love you, and we love Jesus, and we want to do our best to help you grow in God. That's why the Bible says, get planted. Let the river flow in your life. Respond to Jesus. Get in close. We urge you. Be in relationship. How many understand? We're a cheering church. I was a yell leader in high school. I really will come to a close. I was a yell leader in high school. You know, sis, boom, ba. Nobody can believe that, right? Sis, boom, ba. Let me yell in your ear and, you know, bring a megaphone. I love all that. Still have my megaphone. It's a little bit beaten up because we had a few rough games in high school. And I yelled real loud in high school. Anyway, but I was a yell leader. But you know what? We're still doing the same thing. You look around you at this church, and when you see somebody doing good, and when you hear answers to prayer, and you see our brother doing well and being healed and being healed, and you see God move and answers to prayer, and you see people who have their children that they're burdened about, and you see God lift the burdens, and you see God bring strength. How many know we cheer in this church for each other? We cheer in this church for each other. That's what the local church is all about. A family to strengthen you, to love you, where the river of God flows. You want the river? couple more thoughts and we're done. Isaiah 61, verse 3. Isaiah 61, verse 3. I want you to see the last part of the verse. Console those who mourn in Zion. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called, say it with me, trees of righteousness. The what? The flying trees of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. And that yields something. If you are planted in God, that yields fruit. And that fruit is that God will be glorified through your life. If you'll allow Him to plant you and bear the fruit of righteousness. The Bible says their leaves are for the healing of the nation. When you bring forth fruit and you let the river of God flow through you, everywhere you touch, you're going to bring life. Psalm 92, verses 13 through 15. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. How many fruity older people do you know? They shall be fresh. I love this. I chose not to read this out of the King James Bible. Anybody have the King James Bible with them this morning? They shall be fat and flourishing. Wasn't this nice of me? They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in Him. And the last point, this is fantastic. They shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Folks, when you love Jesus, and you know He loves you, and you bear that fruit, and you get planted, and you let the Spirit of the Lord and the river of God flow through you, and you cheer for one another, and you see and encourage the fruit bearing. It shows up in your countenance. Remember when Jesus was in, or Moses was in the mount with God? What happened when he came down? He put a covering on his face because he shone, and he didn't want to scare the people. Then he put a covering over his face because the glory would lift. Listen, church, when you love Jesus, it shows. It shows. Sealed in Him. New Testament. In the Old Testament, couldn't see God and live. New Testament, they're going to see Him face to face and love Him. The result? Radiant joy. The result? Full of life. The result? Grapefruit. The result? The river of God. And you know what? Wherever the river of God flows, it brings life. So you choose. As it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. We can either be distracted by all of life, or we can see Him face to face, love Him first and foremost. Then when we have those conversations, we can still have the same conversations, but there's a different heartbeat, because the river of God is flowing in you. Jump in the river! Amen. Say it with me. Jump in the river. Jump in the river. One more time. Jump in the river. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to be together this morning and be in Your river. Lord, we thank You that this word, Your word, is rich, full of life. Lord, our hearts are not to be distracted, but to be alive in You. Lord, we'll commit ourselves day by day. Though these topics are important, they don't own us. Though the topics may be imperative to living our life day by day, we're owned only by Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that Your river will flow in us, flow to us, and flow through us. In Jesus' name, amen.